That was a man of few words, apparently. Red Sox manager Alex Cora asked whether he's had conversations with Raffy Devers about playing first base. He used that same simple word that Devers used in spring training when asked if he would move to DH. N-O.
No.
No. They both like to use, apparently. So, correct me, guys. Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy, Stevens, Ted Johnson here, WEI Afternoons. And we'll talk to, hopefully, our guy Alex Cora tomorrow at Fenway Park. As we
Where's the hopefully in there?
Well, with rain and doubleheaders, and depending on how things play out, schedules, I don't want to tease something that isn't locked in stone. So we'll talk Cora-ish tomorrow, Fenway Park. And we can ask him maybe a little more about Devers, although he doesn't seem overly talkative about it. There's matching nose. I thought one of his skills as a manager, Ted, was relationships with the guys. You know, it was in the clubhouse. It was with Bayo off camera, you know, like all these things building almost Mayo-like. And, you know, you got to reach the person before you can reach the player. This relationship with Raffy Devers does not seem to be bearing any fruit in terms of the manager gets along with him so he can convince him, right, to do things that maybe he doesn't really want to do. Because right now, I think it's so simple. I said it yesterday. The best, easiest, fastest, quickest solution at first base is Raffy Devers.
Okay, it's you know what? And I think a lot of people would agree with you. Do you think he even saw this coming? Like, you know, you did not see it, Alex. If there was one position on the field, one position that a player got hurt at, other than, let's just say, third base, What was the obvious, you know, kind of place to put Raffy Devers? Where would it be? It would be first base.
Yeah.
And it happened. And there's the opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think he didn't probably put that in his equation when he went to Raffy and said, hey, you're DH. It's like he didn't give any kind of probably wiggle room, like, hey, if something happens somewhere, but, you know, it was like, you are a DH now and forever. And so he didn't give himself maybe any wiggle room, is my guess, when he first went to Raffy with the news that he was going to be a DH. And so he probably feels like, you know, baseball players are like, once they get it in their head and they settle on this, and this is their fate for the rest of their career. And then you go back on that a month and a half later and say, you know, actually, I've been thinking, can we move you to first base now? That he just feels like he doesn't have control. It's a sign of a manager that maybe isn't on top of everything and doesn't have control. And I think that's part of why Cora is hesitant to go there and approach Raffy with that scenario.
But Fitzy, correct me if I'm wrong. This is a baseball team that has used Campbell at second, left, and center. Last year, they used Rafaela at shortstop and center
field.
To the point where they actually have bobbleheads of both for him available. Hamilton plays a bunch of spots.
Not the same.
Let's see. Jaron Duran has played all over the outfield.
What do all those
guys?
Noted second baseman Connor Wong from last year.
Right.
What are all those guys? How about shortstop Bobby Dahlbeck, Dan?
None of those are established stars in the league. None of those guys. They're all younger in the careers, and you can mold them, and they're young, and they'll just do whatever you say. Here's an established, quote-unquote, superstar, the face of your franchise.
Yeah.
You can't treat him the same way you do those other guys. I'm sorry.
Where did Trevor Story play?
Okay, so what's worse right now, then?
Second base.
I was going to ask you, Andy, what's worse right now, legitimately? If Raffy Devers doesn't want to play first base, and that's one of the reasons, if not the main reason, why Alex Cora does not want to broach the subject and situation with him, what's worse, that attitude or the fact that 95 down the middle he still can't catch up to?
95 down the middle, because if he's just going to hit, I'm going to need him to hit 95 down the middle relatively often, and that is still a problem, but there is an underlying issue here. Ted, I thought you were going to say, like, what do those guys have in common, or what's the difference? Yeah, they're team players and Devers isn't. That would have been my snarky answer if you wanted a snarky answer. That if you're a team player, you do, you know, again, I keep going back to, I don't know why Edelman keeps infiltrating my thoughts, but Julian Edelman's playing defense against Anquan Boldin. Like, I mean, either you're a team player or you're not. Either you're all in, and it's just a terrible look. And for Devers, I also think this is an opportunity that if he plays this right, to be the savior, to ride in on his white horse over to first base, you know, get the glove out of the saddlebag, play first, help the team win.
It's a fair point.
Like, you can look.
There's an opportunity for Raffy to really kind of, you know, get fans behind you.
Yes.
And be a hero.
Yeah. You're like Doug Mirabelli from the freaking Logan Airport to come catch the knuckleball back in the day. And also, did he want to play defense or not play defense? Or he only wanted to play third? He doesn't really want to play defense. Now you're giving him an opportunity to play defense again. Like, what does he want? I feel like I'm arguing with a woman here. I said this, you said that, then I said that, and you said this. And I'm like, what do you want, Rafi? I want to put you back in the field with a glove. You wanted to play in the field. You have an opportunity now. This is infuriating. Add that to the fact that he still can't hit a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. That's also, that's a fair point, actually, Fitzy. If he had, like, 12 home runs, was batting 340, and you're like, oh, my, he's really taken to this DH thing. He is really ripping the cover off the baseball. Maybe I'd even give him the benefit of the doubt and say, okay.
Don't mess with a good thing.
But you've been okay. You've had your ups and you've had your downs. You've hit some off-speed pitches. Okay, great. But maybe we'll see if you do better.
He's batting 250. Andy, he's batting 250, has 23 ribeyes, a handful of home runs, and it's, what is it today? Today is May 6th.
He's had more ribeyes than that if you count the post-game meals.
Not to mention the bottles of Camus that go with it. And through, let's see, the Red Sox have played 36 games. How many punchados does he have?
Too many. Well, he had like 17 right off the bat, so.
I know. He has 44, which means he's averaging 1.25 strikeouts per game. So if you put that across 162 games, he is on target to strike out 200 times this season for only $30 million, as they have said in so many different movies. What a bargain.
Leads the AL in walks and strikeouts. So I guess that's exciting in some weird baseball way. I'd rather he lead the AL in home runs and RBIs and average. But anyway, the lineup is out for tonight.
Yeah. I'm so curious who they got playing first.
Lineup's out.
So batting in the two hole with a DH next to his name is Rafael Devers, as the manager alluded to. So, no, haven't talked about playing first base. We don't even know, Dan Ball, correct me if I'm wrong, we don't even know, taken any ground balls at first base yet? We've heard he's taken ground balls, but has he gone to the other side of the infield?
Did he?
Let's just say that there's no video evidence of it. No.
Okay, so there are rumblings of it, maybe? Is that what we're going with?
I don't know. I'd turn that question back on you.
Okay. I feel like I've heard that he took some ground balls.
I've heard it was somebody. I've heard people with microphones in that studio talking about what birdies are chirping in their ear about Devers taking ground balls.
Okay, so he's maybe taking ground balls. Anyway.
That covers us.
Yes, absolutely. Batting seventh.
Great job,
and playing first base is Abraham Toro. How you feel about that, Teddy?
Is it bad that I don't have an opinion on that whatsoever?
Yeah, it's radio. I need an opinion right now.
Shoot. Not good, because I just started hearing about the guy. I'll be honest. Not that familiar
with
Toro.
Abraham Toro.
So,
that's some bull, Fitzy.
Give me the profile, Dan. Tell us, help us out.
I was going to tell it to you in your ear so you could sound like you knew what you were saying.
I'll just follow my sword and let everybody know. I don't know too much about Toro. What's this kid about?
I did hear Alex Cora talking about him the other. It's Abraham Toro Hernandez. So far this year in the majors, he has zero stats, which is great. So that's
thank you for that, Fitzy.
Yeah, he's, I don't even know what the hell, Dan, where's this kid from?
So he's age 28, the Red Sox are his fifth major league franchise, and he's not even 30. Made his MLB debut with the Astros in 2019 at the age of 22. The highest he's hit, in 2023 with Milwaukee, 9 games, .444 average, guys.
In 9 games.
In 9 whole games. He's got a career .219 average with a .637 OPS. He has played first, second, third, left, right, and DH in his career.
So
this is our guy.
He's journeyman utility player. That's how I would describe him superficially. Journeyman utility player.
Very much so.
And maybe even a 4A journeyman utility player.
That might even be generous.
So he's at best a short-term solution to this problem. He is at best going to play a handful of games there before we realize he can't hit. He's a .219 hitter. Although that's actually higher than the last guy that was playing first base, who was batting a buck something
that's
in his
good
time
point,
there.
Fair point.
Do you have a solution, Ted? We did this yesterday. Fitzy and I, we took callers. There were a lot of move Christian Campbell to first, bring up Meyer, like do the Vaughn Grissom. He took some ground balls, played some games in the minors. Like, do you have a preferred solution, or are you like me, a simpleton, and say you just got to convince Devers to do it?
You know, it's a great question. I mean, I kind of like the idea of moving over Christian Campbell. to first.
Okay.
Because, I don't know. Like, I feel like if he really, then you could slide guys over. You could or put Bregman at second. You could have Trevor stay at short. You could put, Rafi Devers at third.
Oh, we can't do that, though.
We can't do that?
No.
Okay. But we have solutions. We have David Hamilton. We can play at second base, clearly. Put Christian Campbell at first base. I mean, he's tall. What, he's 6'3"? I like the profile of him.
He's a big dude. That's correct, Ted. Yeah, it's a good size for a first baseman.
So I would be okay with them doing that.
Why do you not like the Devers plan? Or would you be hesitant? Because am I wrong in that it seems like the obvious plan that I've been around baseball forever and fat third baseman moved to first? Isn't that like a cliche, simple thing?
That's kind of how it usually works.
Right. It's an easier position. I mean, I've had Lou Maloney and Will Middlebrooks tell me how
easy it
is.
That's my first choice. So that's my first choice.
But and we had the comments over the weekend from Craig Breslow, who alluded to the idea that it's in his brain at very least. Like, he wasn't acknowledging it, but he wasn't shooting it down like Cora has. So then there's that, is there a disconnect between the president of baseball operations and the manager, who is the guy on the ground with the relationship, and would Craig Breslow be open to it if the manager could convince him? I don't know. Doesn't this seem like a lot of work to convince a $300 million player to do his job and play?
Yeah, a little bit. When you consider, you've had catchers move to first base.
Yes.
You've had so many. I mean, a lot of guys that their natural position is not first base get moved to first base. So you like to think that it wouldn't be that big of a transition for Rafi. So why that isn't happening, I don't really know. And then that opens up maybe someone else to play DH.
Like Yoshida. You mean your $19 million DH who's just hanging out, can't throw, but he can hit.
So that opens it up too. So to me, yes, mm-hmm. the simplest thing is to just put Rafi Devers at first.
Dan Ball.
It would make the most sense, honestly, guys. It would make the most sense. And again, you know what happened today while we've been talking? The WooSox won a game today, 6-5, and Marcelo Meyer, made one of the sickest running to his right, throwing across his body throws. The guy he actually got out was former Red Sox
Christian Arroyo.
Christian Arroyo, thank you very much, Dan, who turned around and raised his arms to the heavens afterwards as if to say, like, how the hell did you make that play?
And where did he make that play?
What's that?
Where did he make that play?
Worcester?
No. What position?
Oh.
Shortstop.
I don't want to screw around with Marcelo Meyer, because I think theoretically you have a franchise
Trevor Story
shortstop.
Trevor second and Campbell to first.
Okay, I'm more okay with that theory. I'm more okay with that idea because Trevor Story has already shown for a year to be a team player when he came here and took the contract and played second base, although he told you he only wanted to do it for a year. Also, Rafi Devers was once part of a sort of big three or a combo of talent that included Mookie Betts, who has played a minimum of three positions at the big league level already, four positions at a high level.
He's the best example. I'm so glad you brought that up. He has no attitude, no ego about it. And, Ted, he is also a $300 million beloved vested veteran slash, elite player.
I'm not disputing that. I'm not happy with Rafi either. I think it's a bad look for him, too. I do. I don't know what's going on there. I don't know if it's because I don't hear him talk enough. I don't know. I don't hear enough from him. I don't know. I don't know why he would be so, strident and not playing. Obviously, he doesn't want to play, or else he'd be playing there already. He'd already be going to the manager saying, hey, put me in at first. I'll do whatever it takes. And he's not doing that. And that does concern me.
Dan Ball?
I'm on y'all's side.
Teddy, I wanted to present something to you because Andy and I kind of disagreed on this Devers thing yesterday. And what I came away with, just from what we know about Devers, is even if you're changing to a position that is perceived as easier by people who play it, there is still a certain work ethic you have to be good at it. And I don't know about you, but I don't exactly trust him to do the work that's needed to be done to do it at a level that's going to be any better than what you were getting from Tristan Casas. That's where I landed on it.
Yeah, that scares me.
It's still not a good, like...
That would make me nervous if that's the case, right?
That's another shot against Rafi. You invested $300 million into a guy who's very, very sort of limited into where his contributions and willingness to be a franchise. So
that's, yeah, isn't that the foundation that we're working with at this point? Though we already know that about him. It's a bad deal for a guy that hasn't developed into the leader and the superstar you wanted.
Okay, but forget. Okay, so he's not comfortable talking to the media, being a spokesman, being a leader. Okay, I guess we've all accepted that. That doesn't come with the job of $300 million. No. Now he doesn't want to play first base at a time when the team has no. They brought up Abraham Toro, a journeyman, minor leaguer, for a utility player.
Their guy.
Like, I don't, wouldn't you be uncomfortable? Just put yourself in that position. If you're Rafi Devers and just be, and you're sitting in the dugout and you're looking out there and you're like, oh my God, they brought that guy in. No disrespect to Toro, but they brought that guy in. That's what we're going with. When I know I should be as good as him or better than him. I played third base at a decent enough level to that I wanted to keep playing third base. No. I mean, I'm a method actor. I'm Devers right now.
Gotcha.
He thinks he's a long-term major league third baseman, and he's going to allow this guy to go out there and play first base, a position that he's played some, along with second, third, short, whatever the hell else Toro has played in his. He should feel bad. He should feel like he's letting his team down. I think a normal 80% of athletes would look at that and say, I know I really don't want to play there, or I want to stick it to the team.
But my team needs me.
Right.
Is there
Why
any
does
chance?
He want to stick it to the team that pays him $2.5 million a month?
Because, well, once again, being a method actor here, they screwed me out of my original position. So I was mad, and I did want to screw him, and I wanted to teach him a lesson. But now this is not a fun lesson, because we're going to lose. We're going to suck. We're not going to be as good. Yep. I'm going to have to sit here for another 130 games and watch this guy.
They're getting what they deserve kind of thing. That's the I hope that's not how he's feeling.
And I know we're
Abraham Toro. I just want to keep saying it to everybody.
Well, you might have to get used to saying it. There's a chance he's your first baseman for a little while here, because I don't hear any other great ideas.
What are we doing?
Never thought I'd miss Romy Gonzalez.
Because the other options we've brought up are legitimate options. They could bring up whoever they wanted. Grissom, they could move Campbell. Right? Those are all opportunities that are right here. They had a day off yesterday. They could have done it yesterday. They could have called up somebody. They chose this.
And I don't know why they're kind of steadfast in kind of trying to keep things the way they are and just, hey, one guy out, bring a guy that plays that natural position, you know, maybe not as good, up, and not mess with the other parts. This is an 18-18 game team. I mean, they are a mediocre team.
Yes.
Like, shaking up the roster or in the positions might not be the worst thing to start doing when they're almost 25% into the season already, and they are as average as this year as they were last year.
Let's mix in your thoughts, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Kyle in Sudbury, and he seems to be down on my plan to fix first base. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey.
Good. So I don't put this on Devers. I don't put this on Cora. It all started with Chaim Bloom not actually signing an actual first baseman or not having a first baseman in the system that can come up if something happens. And then Breslow followed it with Cassis last year, getting her playing, 40 games? And then this year, hitting a .170, looking awful at the plate, not having an actual first baseman in the system to bring up if something happens. And then Cassis goes down, he's gone for the year. You guys are all talking about people moving positions. If they had an actual first baseman, this wouldn't be an issue at all.
Thanks for the call, Kyle. I think it's a little bit of a reach to blame Chaim Bloom at this point. I don't think it's a reach to blame Breslow. You had Casas, who didn't play last year. He was hurt all year long, essentially, and has never proven to be a regular major leaguer. You need to have a plan B at first base, and you had no plan B at first base. It was Romy freaking Gonzalez or Abraham freaking Toro.
That's the worst glass floor that I have possibly heard of for a team that wants to contend for the World Series to have his backups for first base. It's like yesterday we had that caller, Andy, who was mad about the bullpen because there was that ghastly, ghastly blown win on Sunday, Ted, where they were up 3-1 and then Whitlock and Slayton consecutively in the 7th and 8th crapped the bed again. And that caller, I forget who it was, Andy, but he pointed out, said you got to have four power arms in a bullpen like this to compete in the American League East, and they have 1.5 tops, and you're asking too much out of a bunch of Rule 5 guys who flashed early but now may be showing who they ultimately are.
Is it likened to maybe like blaming – it'd be like blaming Bill Belichick for the Patriots not having a left tackle before this draft happened, right? It's almost like, you know, you're blaming someone who was he hasn't been here,
right?
In the last couple of years, for not addressing it 2 years ago. Well, there was a new guy in charge last year. They didn't get it done, and so this year, they didn't have a backup plan, and still didn't get it done. So it's I blame more of the current front office than I do the past front office.
Leave Chaim Bloom alone. He's in St. Louis. Let him do his thing with the Cardinals. Now it's Craig Breslow's time to be blamed here in Boston. Yes, Dan Ball?
I would argue you're at least 0 for your last three on developing first baseman, though. You're Tristan Casas, Bobby Dalbec, Sam Travis now after the...
Sam Travis, I forgot about him.
After the, say, like Mike Napoli, Mitch Moreland's run that you had, Steve Pierce guys that you brought in, you haven't really had a homegrown one since. Not to say that it's not Breslow's fault, but this is the one spot in the organization where they really can't seem to get it right.
And they seem to always have one of those spots. It changes a little bit every once in a while, but and now it's been first base for a couple of years here. But they thought it, I think Breslow, if you take him at his word, thought the answer was Casas. I have a 40 home run, 120 RBI guy, a horse to put over there, a big dude, looks the position, but unfortunately hasn't been able to fill it out. 617-779-7937. We'll continue to take your calls on this Rafi Devers situation. We'll get back to the Celtics. I see those calls waiting as well. Those all next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, give us what's trending. Tristan Casas, which we acknowledged yesterday, Ted, here on WEEI Afternoons, just a horrific injury, almost nonsensical when you watch it. You can't even really...
It's like, see what happened.
Yeah, figure out why it happened, which to me makes it the scariest type of injury. Because when you have that, when you don't have the obvious either hit or cut, you know, we've all seen a million times, Edelman cuts, and it's just too sharp a cut, the knee blows out. This was just to the point where Will Fleming, on our broadcast here on WEEI, actually thought it was the other leg at the time, because that one kind of hit the base funny and kind of like wobbled. And then come
it
to find out.
It was his left leg.
It was his left leg. Yeah, his right one is the one that came down on the base. And it looked at first like that one twisted a little. And you're like, oh,
didn't
it must
he just
be that.
Kick, yeah. He like kicked the first base guy. It was like falling with some groceries, like getting out of the car.
Yeah, it was like, for a 25-year-old professional athlete, it's just so scary.
Well, you know what? You know what he was trying to do, right? He was trying to give a little extra to beat the tag. So he's... You know, it's what you can't fault him. And so, but guys, you don't have a normal stride. You do something different to get there faster when really the best thing to do is just keep running the way you are, and you'll get there just as if you'll get there faster, actually. But that was, this is one of those injuries, too, that you just go, you know, cover your ears, Tristan, that you wonder if he can come back from.
I literally said basically the same thing yesterday. Yeah. Cover your ears if you're listening, because I don't want you to hear this. Go do your rehab and think you'll be back. You're young.
Yeah.
I don't know that if he does come back even, I don't know he'll ever get back to whatever 100% was. Like, there feels like there's going to be a deficit there. Because this is an injury that not too many people come back from. They haven't really mastered the whole rehab recovery protocols the way they have with some of these other injuries and had so much success over the years. This is even Dr. Morse is her last name, right? Dr. Jess on Twitter was Jesse Morse was referencing like there are not a ton of them. First of all, it's not a common injury. Certainly not with baseball players. It's not a common injury. It's usually linemen in football. I think some of those people and just there's not a great success rate. It's just the reality. There was a text jackass yesterday that was like, you guys are having a party or celebrating. It is no, we're not celebrating anything. I feel bad for him. I feel really bad for him.
I do too. And I'll say this because I think baseball is been kind of a guiding light for him.
Yeah.
Like if you know kind of his story, the one constant in his life is baseball, which, you know, for a lot of professional athletes, whatever sport they're playing is, that's for a lot of cases. But I think even more for Tristan Casas, if you know his story, how important baseball is for him and his dad and what it means to them as a family, it's going to be tough days ahead.
And the harsh reality, Fitzy, is we move on talking about first base because the Red Sox are going to move on tonight. They have to. The world keeps going.
Keep
the sport
spinning,
keeps going.
Keep spinning, baby.
Is this really moving on tonight? I mean, starting Abraham Toro coming off of Romy Gonzalez?
Fair point. I mean, they haven't really moved on, but they're at least trying to. No, long term, they haven't moved on. they're dating right now. There's no long-term
This is making do. This is swiping right a couple times. But
you got to have something better than this.
What is this making do until – what are they waiting to happen before they decide on what they really want to do at first base then?
Maybe have conversations with Devers till he gets back to them. Because that's the other thing. We were talking about Devers. Does he not have anybody who advises him? I said this in spring training. Does he not have anybody who advises him on maybe how to handle things, how to manage? It's like Jordan is dealing with him.
He needs a Jordan.
No, he needs a better than Jordan.
He needs a better.
She would do something. At least a definite decision would be made. I don't think so. It almost seems like everything's just goes through the translator.
Yeah, I don't.
Exactly. By the way, shame on, I will say this. The organization, I know they have a lot of different fish to fry and a lot of pots and pans on the stovetop and in the fire and oven, but aren't they supposed to have like envelopes tucked away in a safe that say open in case of emergency, contingency plans, break glass in case of emergency? Like, oh no, we lost Casas for the year. We lost Story for the year. They should know like, okay, our plan is to go to blank, trade for blank, sign blank, or move blank over from second or third or short. Not, all right, so what we're going to do is we're going to start Romy Gonzalez for a couple games. Then we're going to call up somebody named Abraham Toro to hold down the fort until we can either convince Blake Sable to come up, who's a catcher at the Woo Sox, or maybe Story. I mean, it's a mess. I'm stunned. We'll ask him about this tomorrow, Andy, if we talk to him at 2:30 at Fenway, face-to-face. Why no immediate contingency plan?
And it's weird. We didn't maybe see this comment. Like, I think we all focused, at least I did, when you're looking at the roster at the beginning of the season, and you go, I feel the catcher's a little thin, right? I just feel like,
And it was.
Right? Carter Wong got hurt.
Yeah, it was.
And Nevaez came in and it was like, it was okay. It wasn't the worst thing, but first base. It was like first base didn't even occur to me that might be a position that is a little thin on.
So you're with them. So you're with Craig Breslow, because it doesn't seem like it really occurred to him that they might be a little thin. And it's funny because we all come from a world where you go to Patriots.com or every high school in America where there's like a two deep, a three deep, there's a depth chart. And
depth chart.
Everybody knows who the option is, because everybody knows at a moment, a snap of a finger, somebody could leave the field and they're like, you need to know you're the one who runs on because you take that guy's position. Baseball, I guess, is just different. And, I mean, they had Romy Gonzalez playing a little bit, but it is weird when you think of it in or the GM of a football team. Those magnets they have on boards, there's a ton of those magnets, and the pro personnel department has a list of these are the five guys. If our kicker gets hurt, they know the five guys they're going to call to come in for a workout, and they're going to pick one of those to be their new kicker, right? And yet this is like, anybody got any ideas of who could play first base tonight? When we have a game,
it feels makeshift. It feels like positional jazz.
Yeah, it feels minor league. It feels half-ass. And the answer is Abraham Toro, at least for tonight. We'll see what tomorrow brings. 617-779-7937. Robin Swamskit, he has some questions, I guess, about Rafi Devers and his situation. I agree with you, Rob. What are those questions?
Okay, well, not many questions, more of a plan forward to deal with him. So the problem we have here is you've got a spoiled brat star who's overweight, who hasn't even taken the time to master the language in the town and country that he's been working in for the last 4 years. So he pretty much has been given the message that whatever you do is okay. So now when they say, could you play first base, he feels totally fine saying no. So the route they need to go, quite frankly, is Breslow and Cora bring him into Breslow's office, and they say this: we're paying you $300 million to play baseball for us. You're going to play wherever we put you. If you refuse to go out, that's insubordination. We're going to release you for conduct unbecoming, and we owe you nothing. Go find a job.
Thanks for the call, Rob. I'm not sure it works that way in Major League Baseball. There's no way they'd get out of the contract that easy. And Stiz,
that's just ridiculous. Saying, "Oh, the guy hasn't took the time to learn the language." Like, now, all right, now you guys are starting to pile on him. Like, relax.
Plus, I think he knows the language. We've heard enough of these press conferences where he hears the question and just answers on his own before the translator's even involved. So, I think he's learned the language. When he chooses,
he knows when and when to speak.
When he chooses to utilize it is up to him.
I think
he's playing us then.
I think that viral. know clip was directly from an English question.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was like, are you, like, will you play DH? And he just looked around and went, no.
Yeah, no, he's answered plenty of questions over the years that are, you know, long sentences with plenty of words. Like, he understands enough of the language. The second part of it, I mean, Major League Baseball is one of the strongest unions on the planet. Mm-hmm. To think you're just going to say, you play first or you're off this team and we're not going to pay you another dime. Good luck with that, because you'll be paying every dime of that contract, and then he'll pop up on another team.
It's hard. We've seen it around here. I mean, you guys can maybe help me out with other examples, but the Man Ram. I mean, when Manny wasn't happy, you saw what he did. When guys, if you force it or push these guys or do something they're not comfortable with, you know, they can react in ways that is counterproductive to what you're trying to achieve. So my feeling is that there's a little bit of that. And so if that upsets people, I understand that. I'm not saying that's the case, but maybe that is a concern, that if you push Rafi too far, then he might go to a place mentally that he's not able to come out of.
617-779-7937. We'll continue to take your phone calls, and I'm going to get the guys to answer a question. We've given our opinions on this. We've heard from Cora. We've heard from Breslow. What do his teammates in the clubhouse think of Rafi Devers refusing to go to DH early in the year and now maybe refusing to play first base? That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. That was Alex Cora. Short time ago, asked about having conversations with Rafi Devers. We will talk to Alex Cora at 2:15 tomorrow from Fenway Park here on WEEI Afternoons. And we can ask him that question. Have you had the conversation now? It's 24 hours later. And then we can also ask him the follow-up, which would be, why not? You lost your first baseman, and he seems to at least be a logical candidate to fill that void. Why would you not have that conversation with him, right? That's a fair question.
Very, very fair.
Okay, so we're going to have to ask that.
That's not going to be out of bounds.
No, okay.
Well, I mean, if you yell at him, why haven't you talked to him? You know, I mean, that's a little out of bounds.
It's a tone issue. No, I'm not Rich Keefe. I don't have a tone problem. So, I'll say it nice.
So, Alex, I mean, what's up, bud? Why haven't you talked to him? You know, just go like that.
And I'm not sure I'll say it like that either. I'll just say it very simply. Alex, you said yesterday you haven't spoken with Devers why about not? Playing first base. Follow-up question would be, obviously, why not?
Yeah, that's the obvious follow-up.
Boom. Yep. And he can answer it, not answer it, sidestep it, word salad it. I mean, I don't know where it'll go from there. And then maybe we'll have a follow-up to that follow-up. But we did have a texter that offered up a theory. Is it possible that the reason there was no backup plan for Tristan Casas, because the rumor, the hot rumor this winter, was that Vlad wanted to be here, they wanted Vlad, so the long-term plan was just Vlad. Then his agent was like, hey, there might be a lockout coming. You should probably sign this $500 million contract that's on the table, and your long-term plan blew up. I think that's an excuse, though. You still need a backup plan for this
correct
year. Whether Vlad is the long-term plan, I'm not telling you to go sign somebody for big money, but have somebody who can play first base. Fitzy, you said it. Mm-hmm. They seem to have all this, these guys that play two or three positions and have a backup here, a backup there. This guy can play here and here, except first base. They didn't really have that redundancy in the organization or the lineup, and I don't know what the excuse for that would be.
They don't have anybody. They don't have any long-term potential solution, stopgap or fill-in, and they certainly have not gotten any power or significant offensive contributions from over that side of the diamond as well. All you have to do for the latest example is see another game like Sunday where they're up 3-1, give up a quick four spot, and lose 5-4. No big hitting first baseman, no power bat off the bench to step in and give them a spark when their offense desperately needs it.
Yes, Dan Ball?
Sorry to scare you, Andy, apparently.
You did. You startled me.
But the rumors all offseason were they were trying to trade Tristan Casas, too. So what was the backup all offseason that they were going to go with?
Well, yes, that's true. A lot of it was Seattle for one of their pitchers.
Yeah, it was rumor. The rumor was Casas and even Yoshida for Luis Castillo. So was Devers going to play first base then? But then you bailed, and now you're trying to backtrack. What the hell?
Yeah, they seem to have a communication issue. A communication between the front office and the manager, and then maybe a communication issue between the manager and the players that are pawns in this nightly lineup game. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone lines. Everybody's been waiting for it. He's been waiting a long time for it. It's Celtics-related, but I got to get him off the board here because Jake has been on the board forever. So, Jake in Boston, what is your reaction to our Celtics commentary from earlier?
Well, while you have Teddy here, I just want to dive into Teddy's favorite story first before I get into the Celtics. As a Carolina alum, Teddy, I do love the hype around the Belichick stuff. People are talking about Carolina like it's an SEC school, and they're talking about Bill and Jordan instead of Lane Kiffin trying to sneak into Levy Thomas's DMs, even though he has a daughter her age. And as far as you're concerned about Jordan, yeah, fireable offense, maybe. Steve Belichick can't stop making kids. He just had a fifth. He left his first big boy job in the Big Ten to run back to daddy's protective arms. The staff there is far more of a problem than Bill and Jordan. Now, Celtics-wise, I was pissed off last night, and I called Arcan, and I calmed down. And the problem is for the Celtics is that this group of superstars, they're not a group of superstars. They're a math equation. The reason they play this way is because the math tells them to. They've hacked the game. Ball movement, three-pointers, spread the floor, shoot away. And because of it, and maybe this is the thing that hopefully clocks into our superstars' heads the most, because of it, Tatum is not a top-five player. Jaylen is not a top-five player. The system succeeds or it fails, and it failed last night. And if you're Bill Chisholm, those second-apron guys, the Jarus, the Derricks, the Peyton Pritchards, they are the most valuable on the team because they help make that system work as a whole. Comparison time, I think Paige Bueckers is a better player than Caitlin Clark, but Paige played in a system at UConn while Caitlin was just allowed to shoot and take over games and shoot 60 times a game. It's different. It means that at the end of the day, your guys are not really, they're not individuals. They're playing within a collective group, but really they're playing within a collective equation.
Thanks for the call, Jake.
Whew.
There's a lot
better calls though in a while.
Well, those of you that want him to stick to sports and not go through the social media like tabloid world, he stuck to sports there. He gave you a sports take on the system.
Nothing about Mrs. Mayo's Instagram.
So my pushback on that would be the Celtics are a poorly built team if they're built on a system because they're paying players $500 million. If the system is going to win, then win with the system and don't overpay for talent like Tatum and Brown and all that, don't have all these $30 to $70 million players.
How do you? And the one thing I would say to Jake is how do you explain last year? I mean, they've won it. They've won it doing it with this system with these players, and that's the only it's the only kind of thing that you can maybe kind of put back in Jake's face. I kind of agree. I've always kind of I tend to agree with Jake. I just don't think the Jaylen or JT is built perfectly for this system. They did it last year doing it this way. So, if they did it last year, you'd like to think that they can do it again. I just think there's enough tape. Teams are going to figure out finally the formula and the code to beat the Celtics. And I think Orlando gave you a little taste of it. And you saw kind of, I think New York kind of follow that that blueprint, at least after in game one last night.
I'm a little embarrassed to admit this, but I do have an aligned take, I guess it is, with Jake that I shared earlier with Jones and Keefe. I do actually believe Jaylen Brown would be a better player in a different system. I think Jaylen Brown likes to play in the paint, mid-range jumper, aggressive, go-to-the-basket, physicality. And here it's like, make sure you get your 8 to 10 threes per game, Jaylen. You got to take those. And he's not great at it. He's not great at shooting the three. I think he'd be a better – whatever he is now, a 15 to 20, let's say, this year, I think he'd be a 10 to 15, maybe a little better.
The three guys you mentioned are it's actually kind of true. I mean, Drew Holiday, White, and Peyton Pritchard are perfect for this system because the ball constantly moves from their hands.
Yep.
They're not ISO players, and so they do a good job of getting open shots and getting the ball to guys to take open shots.
617-779-7937. We'll continue to talk about the Red Sox, endeavors, and first base, and solutions, and holes, and much more. We'll also continue to take your calls on the Celtics after that Game 1 defeat to the Knicks. Coming up here in the 5 o'clock hour, all that and more here on WEEI Afternoons.